Hello. Welcome to episode 82 of True to Size.
Like that little head fake we got there.
Not
like
a hezzy,
like
bro.
A stutter step.
I was like, "Huh."
Does he know? Okay. What's going on, everyone? And welcome to True to Size. We are a weekly podcast centered around the wild world of sneakers. I will be your host today. My name is Lawrence Hopkins, and I'm joined by the rest of the team at Canada Got Soul, Mr. Joel Hernandez.
Okay, October. I get it.
Caught me off guard a little bit. And Alvin Martinez.
Yo.
I can't follow that up.
I tried, but nah.
If you were wondering, yes, in fact, we did go back to back. And we're joined again by another special guest.
Super special.
Are you ready for this? This week we're joined by Mr. Give him a nudge and he'll give you a bump, man. Mr. Won't ever catch him in no slump, man.
Oh, see who's got the bars now.
Mr. Don't take him for no chump, man.
Ah.
You know him. It's JR flying high like he's the
guy.
Wide man.
Oh,
like he's the clouds.
Perfect ending. So much alliteration.
Mr. JR, we've got another face for radio. Thank you for being here.
Hey, guys.
Thank you for coming out.
Unofficial official photographer.
Yeah.
Hey, I try. Hey, I try. You guys see me out there.
We don't try, so at least one of us is trying. Thank you very much for being here. Thanks for making the trip out to the burbs.
Hey, no worries.
Man. He used to be in the burbs.
That's true.
Used to.
Way back though.
Mm. Yeah, but then he made the smart decision. And
yeah. Yeah.
For his career and for his social life.
I should have did that for
other things. you may know JR as being the former man in charge of 306 Young, aka Canada's only Jordan store. Ooh. Of course, we're going to play everyone's favorite game show, 21 Questions.
Mm-hmm.
Get to know his sneaker background with his soulography. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get a behind the scenes look at the mecca of sneakers in Canada, or so they say. He's going to answer some listener submitted questions about 306 Young, and he's going to let us know what it's like to work in the sneaker industry itself. Then we're going to talk about what he's up to now, post Jumpman. But first, Joel.
Oof. Fire round.
Yes, the fire round. We like to start every show with a quick hitting question from you, our listeners. And this week's question comes from Mr. Gerald C.
Yo.
From Brampton.
Down.
What is good, my friend? He says, I got another question for the fire round. Since you guys are running low, thank you indeed. Running low still. Because we use them every week.
Send them in. We need more.
Even if we get a couple, they do start to run out. He says, if you guys can only wear one outfit for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Talking about outfit?
I think we've done sneakers before. But an outfit is different.
That's a good question.
Yeah. That's a very good one.
I already know my answer. That's
okay, good. So you can go first, JR, because I don't know my answer, even though
hoodie and
I
shorts.
Should. Hoodie and which hoodie is the question?
Doesn't matter.
Specific.
Specifically what hoodie?
Your outfit specifically. Each article of clothing.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm going to go right now. If I'm pulling out of my own closet and I don't have all the money in the world.
Yes, that's
a good
assumption.
It's going to be the Travis Scott hoodie. It's going to be my Jordan PSNY shorts.
Okay. Oh, and then which shoes?
You know what? I'm a PSNY 15s, the green ones.
Okay.
Magic shoes.
Oh, wow. I don't think I've seen those shorts.
No?
I think they sound nice, though.
They look even better on this guy.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
He hasn't even seen me in them.
Concur. Seen you without him.
This is all speculation, okay?
He needs a Tuesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday thing.
This is all hearsay.
Thursday to Sunday.
I'm going to go next because we need to talk about something about sneakers really quick. I'm going to do my camouflage pants that I got from Undefeated. I like those pants.
Nice.
And then obviously a true to size, a Canada Got Soul hoodie. We'll go with black with the red leaf.
Nice.
And then to round it out, I'm going to do bread ones.
Mm.
To complete the outfit with gray crew socks. Just to throw that in there really quick.
Mm. Pulled up but scrunched.
Correct. Mm-hmm. Perfectly messy.
Perfectly imperfect. Yeah.
Perfectly imperfect, yes. Just like all of us.
Yes.
Joel.
Correct.
One outfit for the rest of your life.
For the rest of my life. I probably go with the black and red hoodie as well.
Well, we're going to match for the
rest
of
the rest of our life, bro. So I was going to say camo pants too, but I'm probably going to go with CGS shorts. I'm going to be CGS head to toe. So CGS, the champion shorts, probably go with those because those are like just butter correct, on your legs, yo. Butter.
Super soft.
And shoes, I'm probably going to go with, I don't know, maybe the Atmos Elephants.
Okay.
Mm.
Probably wear those and maybe some white crews. Okay. Maybe one white crew and one no show.
Just to throw it off?
Gang, gang, gang.
Really uncomfortable
yeah.
to have that for eternity. Your tan's going to be nuts.
It's going to be wild.
Alvin, one outfit for the rest of your life, forever and ever and ever. Amen. The end.
I'll go black, true to size tee.
Okay. Mm. T-shirt.
Denim jacket.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. With like the true with the Canada Soul pin.
Oh, we're
on
layering
the collar.
Now.
Okay.
I love layer. I love Fall. Yo, Fall's my thing. Yo, we got you. Just look in the box.
We got
them.
You. They're just $10.
That's why I'm here, dog. That's why I'm here. You know what I mean?
Exclusively at Shoe All 3 next year. See you next year.
See you next year.
Oh, we got man. You.
Don't
got
ask you about the pins again.
Then I'll probably do like some olive cargos.
Okay.
That was nice.
Like the ones that JR's got on, so I'll probably just take them off him.
Whoa. These are nice too, the roomy.
They're nice, bro. Because, cargos, you need pockets, dog.
You need pockets, man.
For, like, bare
especially
things.
If it's for your whole life. You need a lot of
yeah. things. You know what
for
I mean?
The rest
I got to carry diapers and shit.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you got
to. Diapers, yeah.
You got a lot of life left.
And then crew socks, obviously. And then my Sean Weatherspoons.
Ooh.
Nice,
okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice hype and comfy choice at the same time. Yeah, I do like the comfort.
You gotta be practical, you know?
Yeah, that sounds.
At least with the jacket, you can roll up the sleeves if it's hot.
Or you can take it off.
If it's cold.
You really fell in love with those Sean's, eh?
Oh, dude.
And I like that you fell in love with them, like, so organically, too. Because you didn't hype them up or anything.
No,
like,
no,
I didn't
no,
see
no.
you talking about them or none of that. Like, guys always do that. But you, like, I see you every time I see you now, you talk about those shoes.
Yeah. Now that I have them, it's like, I thought about parting them with them once. I almost cried.
Why would you?
No.
Like, I almost cried.
Don't do it. Yeah.
I was like, yo, what if I have to? I'm like, no.
No, I can't do
never.
It.
You said you thought about parting with them, but you were literally just going through hypotheticals in your mind.
Dude, it was the worst.
Hypothetically, we're like, would I be able to get rid of them? No. Starts crying.
Almost cried.
It's like, I'm not doing this.
No, it's incredibly dramatic by himself.
I had to throw them on my feet ASAP so I get happy again.
I'm sorry for thinking those nasty things.
I didn't mean.
If you would like to submit a question for the fire round and have us answered on the pod, please shoot us a message on Instagram or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Next up is the CGS picks. Each week we all pick an upcoming sneaker to analyze, dissect, and give our thoughts on. Then we decide if it's poop, scoop, whoop-de-whoop, or Alvin's trademarked phrase.
Super cute.
And by random draw.
That was well done.
That was good.
By random draw, done completely anonymously last week, I am going to go first this week. And my pick is the retro of the, I almost said Air Jordan, the Nike LeBron 7 red carpet.
It's weird saying retro LeBron.
It is really weird saying retro anything else, to be honest.
Old,
yeah.
We're old.
We are old, yeah. I actually wore LeBron 7s to prom.
Jeez.
By the way,
the All-Star
okay, flex.
It wasn't the was it the All-Star?
Those
it's the tux,
baby
it's called
blue?
The tuxedo. No, not the baby blue. No.
Oh, the white and black.
It's white black with like hits of gold. Yeah.
Yo, those I love those like that seven.
The sevens?
The sevens were dope.
The sevens is a nice shoe. Doesn't look good with a tuxedo. I'll say that just right off the top.
I mean,
you had it, but it was you. So
it was me.
So you're good.
And the pants were still baggy back then, no? Like
They were very baggy.
So
that's correct. Yeah, it was a rented tuxedo.
Mm.
Yeah. Anyways, let's not remember that very ugly picture. So the Red Carpet LeBron 7. I almost said Air Jordan 7 again. The Red Carpet LeBron 7, if you guys aren't familiar. White and black with a bunch of photo blue, I believe is the official color. Hits all over it. Outsole, swoosh, and tongue. Comes with extra red laces. I think this had something to do with some sort of Hollywood something. I don't remember. But yeah, so that's why it gets the red carpet moniker. They originally came out. Ooh, I don't even know.
I think he debuted them like when he was in L.A. Like he played a game in L.A.
Oh.
Like, and that's where he debuted them, I believe.
That makes sense. So yeah, they're expected to come back. Or I guess it might be confirmed now. October 29th of this month, obviously, because there's only one October this year.
Just this one?
It's not a leap year. So we get one October this year.
That's February.
yeah, October 29th in your calendars if you're interested in this pair. 200 US, so I guess that's like 250 at least Canadian.
That's not bad, though.
It's pretty bad. I think that LeBron's used to be 199 Canadian, or LeBron 7s at least. I don't remember. I'll check the box. I might still have the receipt, and I'll update everybody next week.
You used to be 199?
Sick.
I'll check how much I paid for them. Remember
when retros were 199?
I remember when they were 189. Like
179?
169?
Yeah. I remember when retros were 189 and we got 30% off of them.
That was the best time ever.
They were 150. Oh, man.
And what they would sit and they would sit and we would get 50 off of them.
And they would forget about them. Yeah.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Anyways, let's not reminisce about much better times.
Not now.
I will rate these they're in between poop and cute because I never really liked them when they first came out. Ooh. I just think it's cool that the LeBron 7s are coming back out because I wore them to prom. So they're somewhere in between a cute poop for me. Cute poopty. Joel, you can go next.
Okay, so my pick is the SB Dunk Low Night of Mischief. So it's predominantly black with like hits of the orange, like the Halloween orange. It's got purple on it, like purple hits on the laces and whatnot. Black midsole and a glow in the dark sole.
Oh, is it glow in the dark?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
A lot of detail on these. On the toe cap, it's got perforations of a jack-o'-lantern. On the, I guess, the medial side, or what's the outer side? Lateral. No.
Lateral.
The outside of the shoe, it's got, by the swoosh, it's got like a spider web. And by the heel counter, it's got like the purple spider. It's got trick or treat on each heel tab. But yeah, other than that, like these just pop and it looks really well done. The insoles actually are like it's like the October harvest. If you want to call it like an October harvest where they got like pumpkins and.
Yeah, it looks like it's like pumpkin seeds and stuff, right?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool too.
Oh yeah, like the pumpkin guts or whatever you want to call it. Yeah. Scratch that. It's not a country harvest. But yeah.
Pumpkin harvest guts, I suppose.
Yeah. But yeah, man. But these drop. I just lost it here.
I bet you it's Halloween
too.
It's October.
But it's October 19th.
Which October?
Of this year.
Okay.
Of this month.
Of this month.
This October or next month, October?
The month before, November.
Okay. Oh, shoot.
But yeah, so it drops October 19th on NDC. European release is Halloween of
which will
this
probably
month.
Be us then.
Yeah.
We usually coincide with them.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
So they'll retail for about 90 US. But yeah, these are like a super, super cute for me.
Apparently they're big GR. Apparently, like, I don't know a big GR, but I heard it was a GR too. So
but I read like select skate shops are going to get
probably
them.
Probably Blue Tile.
Yeah, yeah. Blue Tile and
Adrift. Yeah.
Adrift, maybe even.
So you guys all like them, I guess? You're
I
fans?
Like them.
I'm pooping on them, bro. I'm with
your poop?
They're yeah. Cute. No, I'm cute.
You don't like it? Oh, no, you're like cute or poop?
The opposite. I'm pooping. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
You're pooping on them?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound nice at all.
Well, no. I guess you're right.
Ladies, that's not what he's
literally.
Looking to do.
Don't. Not literally.
That's a different thing, man.
It's a different show.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What kind of show you think this is?
They're cute.
I don't like them. Mm. I don't know what it... I think they just look cheap.
It's the black midsole, I think.
It could be the black midsole.
Footprint toe box.
I think the only thing I like is the perforations on the toe box. That's really cool. I don't think I've ever seen them do a design of something like that before with the perforations. So that's pretty cool. The spider on the heel is pretty cool, I guess. I think that's the spider web on that little middle panel is a little bit too much for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, something about it. It looks like a cheap Day of the Dead. I think that could be why for me.
Maybe that's
what I mean. Yeah, same color. I don't know. Yeah, they're okay. But they're cute for you. You like them?
Yeah, they're cute for me.
Yeah.
I like them.
Alvin, what you dealing with?
I'm dealing with the Air Jordan 1 Retro High OG Beerless.
Beerless.
It's very beerless. So, I don't know. I'm pretty scared of these. So, these are supposed to drop November 2nd, 2019, with a retail price of $160.
Americanos. That's surprising they did regular these Jordan 1 pricing.
Retro High.
Actually, from the Canada, and they're $235.
No, they're like three bills here. Just go for it. So, these ones feature a patent leather toe box, which is red. It's the half Chicago, half UNC ones, if y'all don't know.
Why is it called Fearless?
To be honest with you, I don't know.
Because Michael Jordan's fearless.
Okay,
I
mean,
but I feel like it's because he was fearless when he was playing with UNC, and he was fearless when he was playing with Chicago. Okay. And by fearless, I mean he wasn't complaining about calls. He wasn't being like, yo, where's my foul? Dog, they tapped you on a finger. Get the fuck out of here. okay. But other than that, like, you know, I think it's making fun of the players who fear the contact in today's NBA. Yeah. But these are cute. I don't know if I could do patent leather on ones.
I've strayed away from it for a long time.
Yeah. The only one I've considered was the Chicago ones. But I, even then, if I had those, I don't know if I could rock them.
I'm not sure.
It's the creasing and then how the ones crease. I know ones are supposed to be creased, but I just never liked how
patent leather
creases.
Different animal.
It's not like an 11, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's different. So I don't know. These are cute though. Like, I like the look, I like the concept, but
I don't understand the story. I might have to look into it because I don't see a story.
I tried to do a little Googling. About just fearless motivation that Michael Jordan had when he played.
It's nothing like, oh, Michael Jordan.
Nike reaches for all these stories hard, man.
Big reach there. I don't understand. Really.
But everyone's going to be like, oh my God, he was fearless. So am I.
Is he fearful when he was with the Wizards?
Well, they were also blue.
I guess he was because that color isn't on here.
Yeah.
I'd be fearful if I was with the Wizards. I'm not going to lie.
During that time?
Yeah. Same here. Well, for sure, if I was with the 01 Wizards.
Fearful of Gilbert Arenas.
Yeah.
Bang, bang. Bang, bang.
If I was a 38-year-old Michael Jordan on the 2001 Wizards, I would be fearful.
I mean,
only had one good game in that whole season.
He was fearful of not winning, and that happened.
Yeah. That happened, yeah. Yeah.
You know,
what did you say? You think they're cute?
They're cute.
They're just cute for you.
Yeah.
And our esteemed guest,
me,
you. It would be you.
That would be me.
That would be you. What is your pick this week, my friend?
Air Jordan Retro 10 Seattle.
Seattle.
Seattle. If for those who can't speak,
Seattle
or Seattle as well. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else?
Part of the original City Pack that came out in the mid-90s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sacramento, Seattle. Oh, my gosh.
Blue.
There was Orlando.
Orlando.
Mm-hmm. Red.
And there was one more in the Bulls. Yeah.
Chicago, man.
I think that's it.
Chicago, man.
And, classic. They're doing them like just like the OGs with the backwards Jumpman on the on the left heel. Shamir, the right one. And, I've always... I came on to Jordan 10s really late once I got the double nickels because I wanted to get to match the jersey that I got. But I've always loved them like since like having them. Those and actually twos. Like I love Jordan 2s. I don't buy enough of them because they don't drop them enough. But yeah. They're one of the most comfiest retros.
Twos or 10s?
Both of them, to be honest with you. But yeah, those drop this coming Saturday.
This is correct me if I'm wrong, the very first time they've ever retroed. Is that correct? Right.
Yes. Any of the City Packs.
So when
any
you're listening of the to City this, pack. You can purchase the Seattle 10s.
I was also going to say, I was really late to Jordan 10s too, so late that it hasn't happened yet.
Well, okay, all right.
Unless it's OVO, and then I'm all over it.
Fair.
Anyways.
But we ran Ball in the like Shadow 10s, I think.
You balled in the Shadow 10s? I balled
in the Shadow 10s.
That's another 10.
The 10s were comfy, man, like for ball. Mm. Even though my foot was hella hot, like the cushioning was dope.
Yeah, it was hot, but it was
But there's no comfy. Grip yeah. on that shoe. The grip is his achievement.
Straight lines.
I mean, it had more grip than the ankles I broke, so I'm straight, you know what I'm saying? Wasn't that many ankles, though, so,
all right.
You know.
All right, now. Someone submit that for EEE.
It's more like anklets.
Yeah.
Anklets.
Yeah. Just crossing over kids.
Doesn't count if you use a baseball bat, man. Doesn't count if you use a weapon to break ankles.
I never used it. I just held it while I was dribbling.
Yeah.
Next up is this week in... Oh, how did you rate them? I don't remember. Did you
oh,
say?
Cute.
Cute, just cute. Okay.
Yeah, just cute.
Next up is This Week in Kicks. Now is the part of the show where we discuss the current headlines and happenings in the world of sneakers. A couple interesting things to mull over this week. First off, Travis Scott responds to a complaint about resellers. Mm. Not sure if you guys saw this.
I saw this.
Yes. Yeah. We'll see how we feel about this. So if you didn't know, for all those listeners who were unaware, a guy named Travis Scott actually released a pair of shoes last weekend. I know. I was like, what?
Wait, he didn't release a track. He released shoes?
I know, it's weird.
I was trying to look for Air Jordan 6.
So it was an Air Jordan 6 in green.
I thought it was Randy Moss.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's my guy. It is Moss green. after the release, a fan reached out to Travis and Nike via an open letter on Twitter and Instagram. It was like a
Travis fan page,
highly toted Travis Scott fan page. He's just crying that the quote unquote real fans aren't able to get the shoes because resellers buy them all and flip them. Oh,
but if you're
man.
A real fan,
anyways, he says that the fan. Says that
you're a real fan, you know what to do, dog.
Says that the fans are the ones selling out his shows and buying his albums and supporting him every other day of the year, which is true facts. Mm-hmm. And that Travis actually responded on Instagram in a comment, and he just said, "Your voice won't go unheard."
He's going to send that one guy up here.
So that's cute.
He's trying to ease his nerves.
I heard you still.
I hear your one voice.
Yeah.
I mean... This sounds like somebody who's not really into sneakers, if I'm being frank, because this is nothing new. So a sneakerhead could say that you're not a real fan of sneakers and probably flip it right back on you. Yeah. Because if you were into sneakers, you would have an idea that this wasn't going to be an easy shoe to get, my friend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, there is a resale market on absolutely everything on the planet of Earth right now.
No, but like everything, like Costco and blankets.
Everything.
Cereal.
Like, you don't hear the Reese's peanut butter puff or whatever the hell it's called fans complaining that people are buying the Travis Scott cereal and reselling
it. You can find them because they're sitting in stores still.
I'm going to go buy one.
I have one at home.
Did you eat it?
I didn't buy it. I got it for free.
Oh, I saw that you won a contest. Anyways, what were you going to say?
I don't win those.
Did you have something to say?
Oh, I was going to say playing like devil's advocate against those like people that are being like the real Travis Scott fans. It's like, well, okay, well, on the flip side, like what about the real Air Jordan fans? That
exactly.
You know what I mean? It doesn't like, even if they don't know who Travis Scott is or don't like him.
You don't have to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same way that apparently this individual doesn't know what Jordans are because he doesn't know there's a resale market and people want to buy them and sell them for more money.
People who don't know about Jordans know that there's a resale market for Jordans.
Exactly. Right, 100%. So this guy's, I don't know which rock, maybe it's Patrick Starr. He's living under a rock or something under the sea. I don't know. I don't really feel sympathetic anymore for this kind of situation. Like I kind of understand it.
You have to be understandable.
Like I understand it, especially if he's really passionate. He has his own fan page for Travis Scott. Like he's a little bit salty that he didn't get the shoe. And I'm sure if he waited a week, he wasn't going to write a pretty lengthy letter. Poorly grammatically.
Grammatical?
Yeah,
grammatical?
I can't even say it. Yeah. Not very good grammatically. I'm not going to lie. But yeah, like it's kind of whatever, man. Just there's going to be seven more.
No, if you want it, go buy it, dog.
Yeah, but where was he with the previous Travis Scott?
Yeah,
maybe like, maybe tried and just didn't want to complain that time.
He's like, this one I've had enough now.
He's like, I've had three chances, four chances, I didn't get one yet.
That's it, man.
I don't want these Air Forces.
This guy has like a famous Travis Scott Instagram page though, like just do an ad for something.
Okay, but this is also the other thing just because like, damn shirt, I don't think he feels entitled. There's no like entitlement here about him feeling like, oh, because I run this page, I think I should get a pair.
He used just- the word real fans, though. I quoted.
So he's a real fan.
The real fans could not get the shoe.
Okay, but real mans will go get that shoe.
With the guap they got.
Yeah, I mean, like, dog, stop complaining and get the fuck out your chair. Stop Twitter fingering your shit and go fucking line up.
Mow some lawns, burn some CDs and sell them.
He sounds like do something, dog. Like, a salty millennial.
Sell your Travis Scott t-shirts that you bought from all the concerts and then buy the damn shoe if you want to fucking spend that much. Yeah, I mean, like, do something. Like,
come on, man. You know what the resale game is now. Go use it. Get out of here,
unfortunately, yeah. Like, you're just not, I mean.
He just gave away a free t-shirt on a site yesterday. Buy that, flip it.
You know, there you go.
I don't know. Why are you giving away a free t-shirt? Sell that shit.
The fuck? Travis, weirdo. So wait, is there any weight behind what Travis said?
The only weight was your voice won't go unheard. He didn't even type out your.
He said your. He said your.
You are.
You are. Yeah. You're.
He didn't even want to take the time to say your. Y-O-U-R-E. No, R.
It's not your
R.
Your.
Nothing's going to happen because nothing can happen, unfortunately, unless he literally pulls like a Kanye and starts putting golden tickets in albums or something.
We start shipping them.
And then resellers are going to buy all the albums. They're and then you're not going to get an album either, Mr. Travis Scott fan.
They're
so
always going to be there.
There's so nothing you can do to avoid it. But can't beat him, join him. We've let that ship sail a long time ago. Resellers are our friends now. Anyways, on to less exciting news. Kyle Kuzma signs with Puma. Yeah. There's not a whole lot to say about this. He signed a 5-year endorsement deal. Estimates are that it's about $3 million a year. That's pretty cute. Hefty.
That's a nice bag.
He's good.
So the only real reason I put this in here, actually. So do you guys remember who else is on Puma Hoops? Just really quickly. On the Puma Hoops team.
Jay-Z.
Correct, I guess. Yeah.
Clyde Drexler.
Yep. There's some much bigger names.
Ben Simmons? No.
Much bigger names like DeMarcus Cousins.
Who?
DeMarcus Cousins. The guy who's injured?
Marvin Bagley. And Danny Green, obviously, guys. Hello. Yeah.
DG.
Money Green.
Who? He wasn't making no money in the finals.
Oh, he hit like 1-3.
And I don't know if you guys saw, but I think it was last week, RJ Barrett actually signed to Puma.
What? I saw that was happening. Yeah, yeah. So Shout out to RJ.
That's actually much bigger news than Kyle Kuzma.
Get your bag, bro.
Get your bag, Marvin.
I saw him hanging out with Jay-Z on Instagram last week. Good for him, man.
Damn. Good for RJ, man. Not that he came from privilege or anything, and he's not used to all this. But anyway.
No.
He wasn't rich growing up or anything. No. But yeah, so that was kind of bigger news. I thought it was cool that RJ Barrett, signed with Puma. But my real thing was, like, what happened to the GOAT thing?
I was about to ask.
Like, that was remember last year when that was news? Like, it was like Kuzma. The first of its kind deal. Kyle Kuzma signs with GOAT to wear the most exclusive and hyped shoes on court. He's and all year he just wore Adapt BBs and Kobe ADs. Like, what kind of I mean, he got his bag, I guess.
Maybe they just used his name, like he sold his name for that.
Yeah, but he was
but I'm not buying anything though, from GOAT because Kyle Kuzma endorses
hell
it.
No, of course not.
Yeah,
Kyle Kuzma. Did you see their posters though? Those were cool. The Kyle Kuzma Puma posters.
No, I missed that.
It was like Puma, like their logo, but then it was Kuz and then the MA from the Puma logo. Creative. I like that.
A+.
It's cute.
That undoubtedly will be the best thing to come from this collaboration. Unfortunately, I don't want the Kuz Puma.
What are they even called?
The Kuzma Cats.
Kuzma shoes?
Kuzma Cats. I'd rather wear BBB. Just kidding. No, I wouldn't.
He does a stylish one. They bring back the
Future Cat.
The Future Cat. The racing one.
Oh,
because he's so fast.
What a bad time for Adidas. What a bad time for Adidas.
So next up, nearly 15,000 fake sneakers were seized at a port in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
You guys hear about this?
Yeah.
14,806, to be precise, fake Nike sneakers were seized by border protection agents at the port of Los Angeles, Long Beach, which is actually the nation's largest seaport, I guess, because it's on the China side. Was that Pacific? Pacific side. So it was two containers from China, and they were mysteriously marked napkins. in an attempt to pass through undetected. Jeez.
Damn, what are you guys using those napkins
keeping
for?
Clean.
Smart, smart, but it didn't work. I don't think anyone's ordering two full shipping containers of just napkins.
Porn stars.
Yeah.
Or that, yeah. That's a lot of napkins. So in the containers were mostly counterfeit Jordans.
Oh.
They were confirmed counterfeit by experts and the trademark owner.
Experts.
Who were the experts? And the trademark owner. And Nike. So I guess that means and Nike. So I guess they were like, yo, Nike, get down here. Yeah. I don't know who these experts, like, I guess they sent some into StockX.
They weren't from StockX, I'll tell you that.
So in total, the counterfeit sneakers would carry a suggested retail price of $2.24 million if they were authentic. Baby food.
Baby food.
At least they're doing something about it, I guess. Like, it's kind of positive. But, Doug,
do you see these unauthorized authentics that are selling on Kijiji right now?
For the same price as retail, like,
they're selling. Yeah.
Or a little bit less. Or a little bit less.
Half the price.
People are selling them knowing. Be
instead
like,
of 400, is 250.
It's made
it's
in the same factory.
With the same pieces on the same machine.
The same people made it. It's just not authorized. But shut up, bro. It's fake.
That's crazy.
That's a big, $2 million. That's just two containers.
Let me ask you, someone's going to sell you fake McDonald's. Are you going to eat it, dog?
No.
I'm asking you, but
does it have price though?
No, yeah, it is.
Stop this. Stop.
It might give you gangrene later or something.
Don't even.
Food is a different story, bro. You can't give me no.
Fake. McDonald's is already questionable. That's what I mean. I can't cut that questionability in half.
And still consume
that in my body.
Just don't do it.
Facts.
There's no way. If you wouldn't eat fake McDonald's, don't eat. Don't wear fake Jordans. Also, don't eat fake Jordans.
Also, don't eat. That's not gonna go over well.
An update, actually, on a previous This Week in Kicks news topic.
Ooh.
Skechers has clapped back at Nike.
Oh,
the clap back continues. So Skechers released an official statement in regards to Nike's lawsuit against them for some fake, or not fake, it's not fake, they're real Skechers.
They're rip off.
There you go.
Design.
Oh. They're inspired, I guess we'll say. They're Skecherized, I think was the word. The verb.
I get inspired and steal things too sometimes.
I'm sure those two containers were also
inspired.
By Jordan products. So exactly. The Skechers statement from their official Twitter, I guess it came from. It says, "We are hearing reports that Nike may be notifying some of our retail partners that styles from the following Skechers series infringe on certain Nike designs," and then it lists them off. I mean, just the fact that they put Skech Air means you know something's up, as it's in the name. And then it says,
"Air's not trademark."
I feel like it should be at this point. And it says, "As you may have heard, Nike filed a lawsuit against Skechers in Los Angeles," and then in bold letters, alleging that those shoes infringe certain Nike patents. Please note the lawsuit has been filed just recently and merely contains Nike's, and bold again, unproven allegations. Skechers plans on defending the lawsuit vigorously and in response will deny that any of the listed styles infringe on any of Nike's patents. Skechers respects the intellectual property rights of others, but our much larger competitor continues to use its vast resources to stifle competition in the courtroom rather than compete in the marketplace.
Ooh.
Indeed, Skechers has been down this road with Nike before, and Nike does not always prevail. In one case, the full United States International Trade Commission already ruled once that Skechers' famous Twinkle Toes and Bob styles did not infringe on Nike's alleged trademark in the Converse Chuck Taylor midsole. More importantly, as far as our retail partners are concerned, please be assured that we stand 100% behind all our product offerings and would, of course, defend the indemnify your company if Nike indeed tries to bully you too.
Yo, all this controversy makes me want to go buy some Skechers.
Honestly, this is good publicity for Skechers right now.
It is. That's why they're running with it.
I bet you the Skech Air 92, the Skech Air Blast.
Sold out.
Absolutely flying.
They're backdooring them.
I just looked for a pair. I couldn't buy one.
I found them on StockX, actually, if you want them.
I found them in that container.
That's where they belong, is in that container. Like, just the fact that in this statement, It says Skechers has shoes named Twinkle Toes and Bobs.
Bobs.
How do you
Bobs.
Write that Bobs, with a serious?
That's old school.
Serious face Bobs. And say
Bobs is the
like
the rip off Tom.
It looks like Bobs, Toms, right? Yeah. So yeah,
they go doing it again.
Skechers on their old shit once again. shit.
Nike out. Like,
here we go again.
Take it to the streets, doc.
We need someone to do like a YouTube tutorial of like where Skechers came from and why they are who they are now.
I do want that story. I need Skechers, untold Hollywood story. Yeah. TMZ style. Yeah.
And today on TMZ, a true story of Skechers.
Law and Order sounds.
So yeah, Skechers, I'm sorry, but even if you lose this or you win this lawsuit, you lost the war, because I don't think there's any coming back from, not that Skechers is going to lose any of their market share, but like, come on, man. Like, stop.
I found it wild that Adidas never sued them when they were doing the fake Yeezy thing.
Oh, they never actually did anything?
They never touched.
Do you think at the end of the day, I think for Adidas, for that specific, it's one very limited style. So it's not going to affect if Yeezys sell out.
No, of course, but they like, ran with
and
it.
I mean, they don't have a boost either. They never tried to make a boost.
Yeah. Like, I don't
think they tried to make a fake boost, though. It looked like a boost.
I don't think that Skechers making fake Yeezy boosts, which they super did, and they look super bad. I don't think it's affecting at all Yeezy sales. But this, potentially, because it's an inline shoe like a 270 or a VaporMax, potentially if there's a like a mom walking through a mall and she's like an Eaton Center, Skechers is right beside Nike.
Yeah,
if she's walking towards Nike and she sees these Skech Air blasts, she's like, oh, these are half the price, I'm just gonna go here. That's taken from their bag.
It blows me away that they have retail stores.
And then Eaton Center,
too.
That's not a cheap, check.
You're making cake.
You're making money.
Skechers has a huge market share, though. Like they're
They do.
They're not poor.
No. There's a lot of S's on people's feet out there.
There is a lot of S's. Because it sucks. next up is previously in Kicks. This is the part of the show. We review our latest pickups and recap the latest happenings in our sneaker lives. Joel, did you buy shoes last week?
Nope.
Alvin, did you buy shoes last week?
No, but we got a package, though.
What did you get? What did we get?
We got a package from NA Stock. They create those baggage tags.
Mm. Yes.
They have dope ones, man. Like they had a championship one that I wanted to buy before we left to fucking Florida. It was in my cart. And then I forgot to cash out. But yeah, yo, it's like really dope, good quality like baggage tags that you could pretty much put on anything. Like,
yeah.
I'm probably going to put some on my keys so I don't lose my keys anymore.
Hanging from your rear view.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good idea too.
In case you lose your car.
Yeah. Because they have car. They have like a 3M one. Like
yes,
a 3M,
they do.
Like off-white looking one.
God, you got that whole thing.
But yeah, it's dope, man. And like they're not really expensive, probably like $5-6. I think the most expensive I've seen was probably $8.
Oh, it's nothing.
And that was for the championship one.
That's baby food. I'll take $100.
But if you do spend $25, you get 20% off if you use the discount code Canada Got Soul.
Jeez. So. Y'all got discount codes.
That's big.
In.
We're out here, man.
Get on that.
This is a very huge operation. Serious.
And no, I didn't buy anything.
This is all just a front. You're actually in a massive studio right now.
I know.
Not Joel's basement.
It's like soundproof and everything, other, bro.
I know. There's secret doors and shit.
There's another hallway over there.
Yeah.
JR, did you buy any shoes last week?
No.
Oh.
No.
I didn't either.
In a very long time.
I will say that last week when I was the proud owner of a raffle ticket for Jordan 6s, I had to give it back because I didn't win anything. So I was like, you can take it. Here's your raffle.
You got to give yours back. I just got an email saying you suck.
You didn't win. Go away.
You're a loser.
You've recently been selected to not buy a shoe.
But we have all these other shoes for you on the
right side. Yeah.
You want some Skech Air Blast?
Skech Air.
Jeez. Next up, errors, edits, and e-messages. We're pretty smart guys, but from time to time we make mistakes. So if you catch us slipping, hit us in the DM and we'll let the world know that we goofed. And for, I think, the first time potentially in the history of True to Size ever in existence since the beginning of time, amen, we have zero e-messages.
Holy, wow.
Why are you clapping? That's not a good thing,
no,
Joel.
Wait.
Oh, Alvin potentially has one, maybe.
Yes, I do.
This better be good because now we have to wait for you to open your phone.
Sorry, I apologize for the wait.
The anticipation is killing me. This better be absolutely fantastic.
Do you have the take my breath away. The Jeopardy
what? Oh no, I don't. Shocking. I don't. I have no. I don't have that. I have. Thanks, JR.
That's working.
How many phones do you need to go through to find this message, man?
I can't find it.
It's got two phones.
Speaking of, we talked about Law and Order. We do have Law and Order.
Oh, God, man.
I don't have any. I'm sorry, man. I'm really looking, like trying to Price kill time.
Right. Price is right. I can't find it.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. That's why do you gotta do that, man?
I know. I just wanted to make the show longer, to be honest.
Well, that was super disappointing. Thanks, Alvin, for getting everyone's hopes up and destroying them. Someone send anybody an EE next week, please, because
just give Alvin one for that right there.
Give us some content. God damn. Next up. Thumbs up, thumbs down in this part of the show. We give our opinion on various sneaker-related topics with zero context or discussion. Uh-huh. All we're allowed to say is thumbs up or thumbs down. So it is October. It is spooky season. Joel did pick a spooky shoe. Ooh. So I want to know, Halloween, thumbs up, thumbs down. Remember, this is a sneaker-related topic.
Up.
Way up.
Up.
Yeah, up, obviously.
Come on.
It's not even a question. What the fuck?
Halloween?
That was a joke. So next up, NSR. So, because once again, it is spooky season. Alvin, yeah, clear your throat, buddy. It is spooky season. It is October. Halloween is coming up. Thank you.
Yeah.
So instead of NSR standing
for... That was the soundboard, not even Alvin.
Instead of NSR standing for not sneaker related this month, it is going to be now spooky related.
Ooh,
so, Alvin, you said you have a spooky story for us this week. Why don't you go ahead and give us something good?
It's not too crazy.
It's,
holy.
Wow,
honestly, it says on my screen, devil.
Oh, no.
And it was that.
Stop. That's scary.
And it was SpongeBob laughing. I was really hoping it was going to be something really scary. That's kind of upsetting. Okay.
That's okay.
Go ahead.
It's not too scary. Like, no one died or anything.
Boo.
It's actually a lie.
Wow.
No, I'm just joking. So this happened after my grandfather passed. It was after his funeral. I had to go back to my parents' house, to scoop my Foot Locker uniform because I was still working there at the time.
Shout out.
All the rest of my family was in Ajax. So like literally no one was home. It was just me and Sash. So we chilled for a bit, half an hour. Everything's good. Nothing happened. I'm still like kind of sad and shit. And then we're leaving to go to her house because that's where I'm sleeping. Cause I'm not sleeping at my house by myself just cause it's like, I'm very emotional and in the feels. Mm-hmm. So before I leave, make sure all the lights are off. Like every single light turned off.
Is that on purpose?
Yeah. Save electricity, you know, global warming.
You just set it up trying to be a good really guy. Dramatically. Okay.
All the lights are off though.
Okay. Yeah,
remember that.
Yeah. Remember that.
Remember that. And then, so we close the door. There's two doors. There's a screen door and then a regular door. So I'm holding the screen door open because I still got to lock the door. And as I'm locking the door, like literally as I'm turning the key, the light turns on inside. I was straight tripping. No, like the hallway lights.
Whoa.
And it's like there's two switches to get to that, like to get to that light. But like no one was in the house, bro. Like no one. And like, yo, I was looking at the, it's like a frosted window.
Yeah.
I was looking at it. I was like, okay, lights are off. Cool. Cause I always,
yeah.
For me, I always second guess myself when I'm leaving the house. So if I see something's on, I'll go back inside and turn it off.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Lights are off. As I'm turning the key, the light turned, like literally, like the light turned
again?
On.
Was the switch like flicked in the opposite position when you went back inside?
No, man.
So like it could have been like a
like short... it was halfway.
Okay. So it could have been like,
no, I wasn't halfway though.
So yeah, you,
it wasn't, man.
I'm like trying to debunk the scariness.
So was I. No, dude, I was too. I'm like, babe, did you?
It's like a short, a breaker. Could have like, you didn't hit the switch right.
No, dude, the whole time we were there, like we've been at that crib for like fucking over 15 years now.
Mm. Never. Never happened like that.
And we barely use the hallway light. So like, it's not because like the fucking shit's trippy. Or,
yeah. That's crazy.
I've tried to debunk it. I'm like, babe, did you touch the light? Maybe this like the switch was like halfway, and then now it like just it fell. She's like, I didn't touch it, and I only used that one light switch for the night. You know what I mean?
That's some creepy shit, bro.
So I was like, yo, it's my grandpa. I got emotional again. I'm like, he said bye.
putting that light in your life.
But for a second there, I got shook. I was like, who the fuck turned on my light? Like,
real talk.
Joel, any spooky stories for us? You told us one last week after the episode. I don't know if you remember telling us or not.
The one about the kids.
Oh, yeah. With the kids, yeah. So where I used to live, where I grew up, right now it's Humber Lakeshore right now. And before that, prior, like you can, you know, Google it and whatever. You can look into the history of the Lakeshore itself, like Kipling and Lakeshore. And what it used to be before, it used to be like an insane asylum. And it was like predominantly used for kids. And they didn't know how to treat kids back then. So what they had done to them was through, they did testing through electroshock therapy. Yeah. So that's how they would like, I don't know, like determine what kind of sickness they have or deemed to be like, you know, insane or whatnot. So that's all in the cottages of, so if you go to Lakeshore, you know, Humber right now, you know, it's fun times right now. So when I was a kid though, like back to my story, when I was a kid, before it was Humber Lakeshore, it was just abandoned buildings.
After it was a hospital, before
it was the hospital itself, it had moved down to the Queen Street West area.
Yeah.
And it's still there
where it is now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, when I was a kid, it was just abandoned buildings, abandoned yards, baseball fields were there, shelters from like the 60s were still intact. And what I used to do when we were kids, along with the other kids, we used to ride our bikes along the lakeshore because there was a lot of dips and a lot of like, you know, you catch speed and, you know, get some air.
Joel is really good at these stories.
Yeah, man. So what happened was
like the setup is like killing me.
So there's this one particular trail that leads like in between like, you know, like dark, you know, bushings and whatnot, like, you know, in between trees and whatnot. And it leads to like this one certain house, right? And it's in like a parking lot area kind of thing. And the house itself, it's all boarded up. So like, you know, it's just an abandoned house. They just boarded up, you know, and whatnot. So what had happened was we were just riding our bikes around there, and you can faintly hear kids inside the house playing with, like, you know, like the little toys and whatnot. There's this one particular toy I remember as a kid. You used to push it. They still have it now, and it would like, they would have like pop, like the balls inside.
Yeah.
And it would pop, like, pop, 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 pop. And there's other ones where it would make a tune, like ding, 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 ding. Like you would hear that inside, and you could hear the kids laughing. Like me and a couple of other dudes that, you know, that I grew up in the neighborhood, they heard it as well. And we were like freaked to shit. Like you were like, what the fuck? We were like, right, let's go back. Like shits and giggles like back then. And that, like, that itself is,
it's freaky.
It's freaky. It's freaky shit.
Well, I don't like that at all.
anything with kids.
No, anything with kids and ghosts. Yeah, no, that yeah, no. No.
Honestly, man, like kids see ghosts sometimes. So
nice.
Shut up, Kanye. and Cuddy.
JR, do you have any ghost stories for us? Or
I don't have any like ghosts. Like I have like a story of like a light turning on in my house one time. That's Ooh. That's as far as mine go. But nothing else outside.
Nothing there, super dramatic. I don't have any either. Thankfully.
Because you wait.
Honestly, we're good, man. Privilege extends to the afterlife.
Yeah,
too.
It does though. Ooh, it
does. Yo, you guys are the worst in the afterlife.
Prospectors. Where's out here? So yeah, if these guys still have any stories left in their chamber of secrets, we will definitely get to them for the remainder of October. This has been Now Spooky Related. Next up, promos. that's a really long thing. Like, yeah, extends a lot. next up is promos. So first up and most near future near in our future is Just Kicking It on November 16th. Uh-huh. Really good friend Flippin' Laces is putting on his second annual event at the Scadding Court Community Center in Toronto. It's running from 12 to 6. It is a typical buy, sell, and trade, but the cool factor about this one is there is a sneaker display showdown happening featuring the best, actually it says the top collectors in the city. Pretty exciting that a lot of people are going to be there trying to vie for second place. That's really fun of them. it's nice. It's really cool. I like
a lot of people.
Yeah, like everybody else. Really.
Talking a lot of smack online.
I mean, it's
how
out there.
How you feel about it, Doug?
We're the defending champions of. There's no previous event, but
of everything basically.
Just in general, we are the defending champions by default due to age combined. With the three of us, we're 100.
We're about 100.
So, yeah.
Beat that. So just by default, respect your elders. We're the defending champions. So yeah, the winner gets a $1,000 prize and the Larry O'Brien trophy. Larry so that's O'B. Pretty awesome. That's if you're interested sick. In buying tickets, definitely hit up Flippin' Laces or check out the Just Kicking It Instagram.
Yep.
Be very cool to see you guys all show up. Mm-hmm. And just about a month later in December, the Ultimate Sneaker Show by Soul Exchange Canada is back for another show. Saturday, December 14th, 12 to 6 at the Enercare Center, which is very cool. That's a huge venue. That's the that and the Metrotronic Convention Center are the big event venues in the city. So this year they added a trading pit, a food court, and a sporting zone to the event, which is very cool. I'm very interested to see what the sporting zone is. Maybe we're just going to show up and play ball for a couple hours.
About it.
Definitely fine with that. If you're interested, early bird vendor tables are on sale now. They're $125 each or $100 if you purchase multiple. As we've said before, if you're going to sell one pair of shoes, you just paid for your vendor table. So, I mean,
easy money.
Yeah, that's it, easy money, man.
No like, sniper.
There's so much money. That's good, man. Shout out to KD. They're friend of the show. There's a lot of money for sneakers in Toronto right now, apparently, because I see a lot of people wearing shoes now. So,
Something about Travis Scott.
I think that he just funded a lot of people's sneaker budget for the rest of the year, judging by whatever that Travis Scott fan page was talking about. Jeez. Seems like a lot of people ate food on that release. Eating food. Mm-hmm. So, next up is the main discussion. If you guys hadn't noticed yet, there is a guest sitting at this table with us. Did you guys see? Over there?
I'm only half black, so you should be able to see most of me.
Good, because I saw half of you, so that makes sense.
Cool.
I saw all of you. As you should. Thank you once again for coming out here, man. We do appreciate you coming.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
It's been a long time coming. I remember we've been talking about this for
since we started.
Yeah,
since we literally started.
We got to get you out here, man. And you finally made the trip out to the burbs.
Hell yeah.
Come 82 hang out with us. 82 episodes. This is like this. I think it's like our new. I feel like. It seems like we made a New Year's resolution in January. Like, we're going to have more guests on the show, and we didn't do it until now. And now we're just like,
ramping it up,
every binging. Week, we're like, oh, we got to get guests on the show. We got to fulfill
when you don't
the
purchase
resolution.
Sneakers, you buy like 10.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what we do, you know, like binge.
We're like getting it in. Where you're like, I'm going to eat more vegetables, and you don't eat any until October. And you're like, all right, it's time now to eat vegetables.
I mean, it's healthy.
So... JR, I know you've listened to the podcast once or twice or 82 times, so you know, or 81 times, so you know how this goes. You are going to get your own personal fire round session called 21 Guestions. Mm-hmm. Fairly easy questions. Some of them, you don't look.
No,
some of them.
Guestions. I wasn't looking.
Guestions. It's a good name.
I know. I like it.
Thank you.
21 Guestions.
You get it, right? It's pretty.
50 cents.
It's pretty, yeah, sort of. You know. I'm more like a dollar, but it's whatever.
Bring it back to the illiterate. Oh, man. That was
hey, illiterate. Whoa, chill. Yeah. No,
hey, you said it, not me.
Alliteration.
Alliteration. Yeah.
Not illiterate.
No. You're fully literate.
Let's rewind a little bit.
Right.
Easy questions, 21 of them, back to back to back. Just take your time. Easy questions. Yeah. You ready?
Absolutely.
First easy question. Who are you voting for? Just kidding. First easy question. Number one, Air Boost.
Air.
Number two, favorite color.
Red.
Number three, crew shot socks or no shows?
Cruise.
Number four, pineapple on pizza.
Depends on the day.
Today.
No.
Number five, Get Out.
Good movie. I was like, that's a good movie. Yeah, yeah.
Number five, Glow in the Dark or 3M?
3M.
Number six, Jason Mark or Crap Protect?
Jason Mark.
Number seven, Original Boxes or Drop Fronts?
Original.
Number eight, favorite brand not owned by Nike?
Cool. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Damn.
Stussy.
Oh, shit. Oh, okay. Nice. Number nine, best team Jordan.
Best team Jordan?
Correct.
Oh, man.
Describe it.
There was these ones I had in like grade 10 and I can't remember why I got them because I wanted like the top one for that year and I can't remember what it was, but it was like, remember the LeBron, like the 25 fives or whatever? It was like his first season out. He didn't have his own signature, but Nike gave him a shoe and it was like a team LeBron basically. There was a strap on the front. It was before soldiers and all that. There was a Jordan that I had that was like that and it had a number name. I'm going to have to think about it, but I can't remember. But
had a strap?
Well, thanks for not answering the question.
Yeah, but that was my answer. you're welcome.
Number 10, cement print or elephant print?
Elephant print.
Number 11, favorite shoe you own?
Because I've gotten rid of a lot of stuff lately, I'm going to have to go with my favorite shoe that I own right now. The shoes I'm wearing right now, the SB Lakers, Chicago Lakers.
Ooh.
Nice, nice. So
yeah. Number 12, in what province is the city of Wawa found?
Ontario.
Correct. Oy. Number 13, who is featured on the Canadian $20 bill?
Johnny McDonald?
Queen Elizabeth II.
JR doesn't hold anything past
Her Royal Highness.
Under 50, sorry.
Yeah. Past 50.
Cash? What is this?
Number 14, one to stock and one to rock, or two different pairs to rock?
Honestly, I've always understood one to stock, one to rock, but I've never, ever done it. So two to rock.
Got it. Number 15, top three rappers in the game right now.
In the game right now?
That's correct. Thank
J. Cole.
Did I hear an echo?
Kendrick. Okay, sassy man. J. Cole, Kendrick, and I'm gonna go with Odyssey because he's like my favorite guy.
Correct. That is.
Oh, you had that too?
I did, actually. Amazing. You copied off my paper.
Crazy.
Number 16. What are three sneaker-heading essentials?
Sneakerheading essentials.
Take that question however you will.
Knowing what you want before you go after it. Mm-hmm. Cleaning your sneakers. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing as number one.
knowing what you... Oh, wait.
But like that's so extensive because like we could know like a year in advance and like just try and like, I don't know, try and network within the community, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Like
that's huge.
That's one thing that I've loved about being in Toronto and being here since I moved from London was being able to actually meet these people that you see Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and then with you guys. Like it's just been great.
Vastly different than London, Ontario. I can't even imagine. Oh,
yeah, extremely.
I lost my spot. Number 17, favorite Jordan model ever.
Jordan ones.
Number 18, how many pairs in your collection?
Under 30.
Why are you don't be sad, man?
I'm not sad. Oh, okay. I'm just trying to think.
Number 19, who is the biggest name in sneakers right now?
Travis Scott.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Number 20, what is your number one grail?
I'm looking at them.
I don't know. Wait, there's a lot of shoes over there, man.
Benedettes.
Number 21, would you rather receive your number one grail or three other pairs from your top 10?
Three other pairs from my top 10.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Quantity over quality for JR. Thank you. You got 3 out of 21. Good try. Next up is your soulography. So this is just the story of how you came to like sneakers and basically your entire sneaker timeline. So why don't you tell us a story of how you got into sneakers, what made you fall in love with sneakers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
What made me fall in love with sneakers? Michael Jordan.
Okay.
Grew up watching him. My dad was a big fan. My dad looked at him as the GOAT of that era, and he was. And I grew up having that exact same mentality. So that was the reason. And I always... I always forget that. And I think, I don't know if a lot of us do, when we do get into the whole Jordan thing, cause not a lot of us got to, in our certain generations, got to watch him do what he did in those sneakers. But that's why, like, you watched him do what he do. You're like, I need to buy those fucking sneakers. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to be Michael Jordan. And that's what started the obsession. So, I can't remember. I think it was grade 4, grade 5. I think I got my first Jordan brand t-shirt. And I fucking treated that thing like it was gold. It was just a plain Jordan t-shirt. It said Jordan with a Jumpman and a baby blue UNC circle around it. It said Jordan basketball on it. And that was it. And I treated that thing like it was gold. Sneakers, my first pair where it was like, oh my God. We had just moved to a new house just outside of Owen Sound, and we had an acre front lawn basically. Oh, shit. And I'd never used a riding lawnmower before, and I got taught to use the riding lawnmower. I did it, which was really random because my parents left for the first time after I learned how to use the riding lawnmower. But by the time they came back, they were doing groceries and stuff, they had a pair of brand new playoff 13s for me.
Jeez.
When I was done, nice. As like an accomplishment. So that was pretty cool, and that's what really started it. From there, it was just, I wasn't at that time getting them all, and we didn't have – we had one Foot Locker, and it wasn't very easy to get Jordans and Owen Sound in 1999. What year is this? Oh, my word. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
So we had family friends from New York who would come down usually once every 6 months, and they would always end up blessing me with a brand new pair of retros. Like,
nice.
I remember actually just saw PJ Tucker going through. I don't know if you guys saw. He went home and went through his like sneaker closet immediately and put on Instagram. Mm. He had a pair of the UNC 14 lows that I haven't seen.
Oh,
like, they've
nice.
Never retroed them. Yeah. I've never seen them. And I was like, he had them. And I was like, oh my God, I own those shoes. It was so
that's
cool.
Sick. Yeah.
Nice. So that's really where it started for me. Michael Jordan, and then just being really like being obsessed with them and being gifted sneakers.
Mm. Your mom is the white side. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I feel like it was her idea. She's like, look, he's riding a lawnmower. Good for him.
My mom doesn't sound like that at all.
Jordan. Mom.
Because that
I'm showing
like
this to my mom.
Super, like that's a white people accomplishment. Like, look at him. Look at him riding the lawnmower.
He's doing it. He's doing it. Look at him get some Jordans.
Like it's not like taking training wheels off the bicycle. It's like he's riding the lawnmower.
An electric motor. An electric powered.
Let's get him. And then and your dad, the black side, was like, we'll get him Jordans. It's like,
but this,
honestly,
my dad, mom,
perfect. Yeah.
I wish that happened because my parents weren't together. So.
Oh, well. Yeah. Well, anywho.
I was like, I know he's going to end this sentence.
Next.
But yeah, my dad did get me Jordans eventually. So
yeah, see, I was wrong.
Props to pops.
So what is your sneakerhead timeline like? So obviously you've expanded a lot since your early days in your playoff 13s.
Correct.
What did the timeline look like? Where did it obviously started with that? How did it kind of progress? What kind of kickstarted it later on? Because I know you have a story about that. And then, yeah.
From going like year by year, shit. I don't even know what year.
Well, it doesn't have to be a specific.
Well, no, but like from like, what, after the 14 and C14s, I remember getting 60 Cherrywood 16s.
Ooh,
I had those.
Wow.
I had those in high school.
It's a great shoe.
I played grade 10 ball in 2001 Royal Ones.
Jeez.
What?
That was a terrible idea.
Not a success.
Don't ever know. I know. Yeah,
not
it's 2019, so people don't do that. But like,
you were bust.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They were done. And then after that, it was like that random Team Jordan that I was talking about that I don't remember the name of. And then it became just working at Foot Locker. And in grade, just after grade 10, grade 11, when I started working at Foot Locker. And then that's just where everything grew. My first pair of shoes at Foot Locker when I started working there was a pair of Adidas SL2s. You guys remember those?
It sounds really familiar, but I don't remember exactly what it looked like.
It was like a new. It was like a new runner. Yeah. It almost looked like almost like the 34s now. You know, there's like that huge hollowed out
window.
Area. Yeah, they had that in them, and they were really weird. But that was like my first random Foot Locker purchase.
And I guess you never really, now that I think about it, like you never really strayed away from Jordans, right? Like I feel like you kind of dabble in other things, but mainly you've just kind of been like Jordan the entire way, right?
Yeah, Jordan's always been the number one
for me. So you never got into the Air Maxes, or I guess maybe SBs a little bit.
SBs, I was a big fan of SBs. Yeah. Always had been. And again, that was like with the JPAC coming out. That's what kind of first could put me onto SBs.
There you go. Yeah.
Was like the Jordan influence. Mm. So yeah, that got me into SBs. Not a huge Air Max person. Like, I appreciate the classics. Like, I have the anniversary Air Max from Air Max Day, like, last 2 years ago. I've always wanted to add classics in, to be honest with you. Just never really strive to go about doing it, because
it's one of those things that's always around, right? So you're just always.
Yeah. Exactly. They're attainable.
It feels, super accessible.
Mm-hmm.
So we know now what got you into sneakers, how it looked while you were there or while you are there. What's keeping you in sneakers? Why are you still doing this? Why are you here right now? Go away.
Just honestly, like, it's, what do they say? You do something for 21 days, it becomes a habit. You, like, try doing something for like 16 years and try to get
very
rid of
true.
It. You know what I mean? Like, you just can't, it's never not going to be a thing that I'm not in love with or that I don't appreciate or I don't have an appreciation for. So, what's keeping me here? Just this, honestly, it's this stuff at this point. And then being able to transition that into, like, now with photography and networking again and just meeting all these new people and having opportunities like this. And yeah, just there. I don't know what it is, but
it's a lot of things.
It keeps you there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a black hole of energy.
Correct.
In a good way.
In a good way.
Yeah. In a very good way. Not in like an interstellar way. Like,
he comes back though out of that black hole.
Doesn't he like use it as like a slingshot in that movie or something? Oh,
he goes into
like,
it.
He goes like into it and
sends the message and she gets the watch.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Yeah. And then he comes back and she's old.
She's old.
And he's still the same age. Sorry for ruining Interstellar for everybody.
You haven't seen it? You're already behind.
Yeah, you're ruined.
Great movie.
It's been like out for like 4 years now.
I'm top 10.
Oh, that's not true.
You watch more movies than I do. So.
I really don't, probably. More Disney movies, probably.
Yeah, 100%.
So, as we alluded to earlier, you did work at the Jordan store. You managed the Jordan store.
I did.
For quite a while. You started at Foot Locker first. That's correct, as you said.
Correct.
How long were you at Foot Locker for?
Like, throughout my entire, like, career, like, when
I came to Toronto. Well, because you left, right?
So, I left. So, I was in, when I went to high school in Onsan, I worked at Foot Locker until I left.
So, how many years is that?
That was 2.5 years.
Okay.
I came back the 1 year I went to school. I came back to Onsan, worked there for a Christmas holiday. Then, went to school, finished school, and then came back to Foot Locker full time. Worked in London for about 2 years, left to go back to school again, came back, worked somewhere else, and then moved to Toronto, and then Foot Locker picked and started calling my phone, and we're like, hey, what are you doing?
And you worked at Yonge Street?
I was at the House of Hoops, Yonge Street, for about 3 months before I got transferred over to Jordan.
And you were there from opening, or?
No.
Soon after-ish?
I started in September, store opened in May.
Okay, so a couple months after you were there. So. Yeah. And you were at Jordan store for how long?
About a year and 8 months.
That's it?
Yeah.
It felt like a lot longer
September
than that.
September to September and then September to May. So.
Oh, okay. I don't know why it felt much longer than that. So how did you end up working there? Like, what was the process like? Like you said, you were working in these, to be political about it, small town Foot Lockers, we'll say. How did you transition from Owen Sound Foot Locker to working at 306 Young and managing it?
Well, throughout my time, to be honest with you, give you a simple answer, networking, but throughout my time, being with Foot Locker, just creating relationships, and again, networking with people and sustaining those relationships over a long period of time. I've known a lot of the people that were in low level positions at Foot Locker back in the day that are now in high level positions, and I've known them since I was a part timer. So having those relationships and having that knowledge of who those people are definitely helped. Mm-hmm. So again, network as much as possible in any sneaker job or community.
And any job, to be honest.
Yeah, in any job, period.
Definitely in sneakers, it's very important.
Very important. So when I went back in London to work full time, I came back as a part timer. I was part time for like 2 weeks. A full time position opened up. Shout out to the homie Alfie. He believed in me and gave me the full time position. And I just like ran with it. Like, you know, when you get that first full time Foot Locker sales job, you're just like,
you love it.
I'm going to burn everybody basically. And that's what I did for a good 6 months. And then they were like, yo, be AM. I was like, all right, cool. Did AM. And then one day it was just like, my manager was like, yo, I'm getting transferred to the mall across the city and you're going to be manager. And I was like, oh, okay.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah. Cool. Sounds all right with me. I'm not asking for it, but all right, here we go. New responsibility. So, I guess having that title and being and having that management thing, on a resume, I guess really helped. And knowing that I had successfully run a store, definitely helped when I got back downtown. In terms of how I got into 306, again, knew the right people, talked to the right people, and was just like, this is all I want. I don't really want anything else from you guys. You guys,
like, I want to work at that big store down the street.
Like, you guys had manager's meetings before and got Jordan tattoos, and I have had a Jordan tattoo since I was 16 years old. So, like, you know what I mean? I need to be there, and I think you guys should put me there. And they were like, yeah, like, you're absolutely right. Like, we know we get you're passionate. You know, we get, like, the factor of you being a downtown person and you being connected. So we want to put you down there, and we think that's a great fit. It's like, all right, sweet. So
sweet. That's kind of sweet.
Yeah,
cool. I wouldn't mind that.
No, it was a very easy transition. I'm not saying that's going to go for everybody
but it definitely gives people the idea that it's not impossible to get these pretty esteemed jobs,
correct,
from smaller places or smaller positions. Like, you got to work for that shit, especially in a big company like Foot Locker, Nike, whatever you have. You have to work your way up. Yeah, always. So just work hard, basically. What are some of your favorite memories from working at 306? I'm sure there's quite a few.
The day I started, that was always fun.
Boring answer.
Sorry, what's that?
It's a boring answer. My first day.
Obviously meeting Justin Timberlake, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, whatever. Ooh, next. Part of that
launch. You didn't meet him?
I didn't meet him, no. Thank you, though.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, man.
Thanks for the hookup, though. I appreciate you looking at me from inside.
I barely met him. I shook his hand and said, what up? How are you doing? And that was basically
I mean, that's more than I got, so yeah, whatever. Anyways.
Your shoe sign, no?
Yeah, technically, yeah.
Who didn't get
a little roundabout way I got my shoe signed, yes. Yes, I know. So you met Justin Timberlake. That's pretty cool.
That was pretty neat, being part of that release. Just honestly, in the last like year and a half of Jordan's, just being a part of the most ridiculous releases that I would have to say that the city's had, in terms of a Jordan standpoint in a very long time. So just being a part of some of those releases, any of the Travis Scott releases, any of the Off-White stuff. Off-White was crazy. Those days and those hours, you guys know, like working at those stores in those situations are just like ridiculous, and they feel like they're more than a day. They feel like they're a week long.
Oh, absolutely.
They feel like they're a week long, especially with all the hoopla of people coming in every other day asking when the raffle's coming.
Phone calls
and all that stuff. It sounds like it lasts forever, but it only lasts like a very short period of time. And as much as you see me rant and complain about it, it's like those are the days
you live for that shit.
100%. Like, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you got to put people in their place, and
that's why you wanted that job. Like, exactly. Let's be frank. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, you work to get it, and then, you know, you get the benefit of being able to actually buy some of these releases because you're in a privileged position. And I would never take that away from anybody and say that I was like super like ungrateful by any means to not be there, because I had to put in my hours and my time and my blood, sweat, and tears to get to that position to do that.
Yes, sir. Just want to backtrack half a second. The Justin Timberlake release. So I don't know if we've actually like ever talked about it.
Yeah.
Like, I was there, you were there, several hundred other people were there. Justin Timberlake was there.
Correct.
How did that even go down? Because just a little bit of backstory for that. That was the Super Bowl pair.
Correct.
He previewed it on the Super Bowl. I don't remember which Super Bowl it was, but Pats won, I believe. So that's all that matters. halftime, shock drop at halftime, crazy, wild. Then Man the Woods tour comes around. He has two shows in Toronto, does a show. Day in between the two shows, boom, random shock drop at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They make an announcement that shit's about to go down. So that's obviously front end of like knowledge from what we know. What's the back side of that story? Cause to me, most memorable release of my life, super well done, like just crazy. Yep. I can't remember anything in Toronto like that, having somebody in store doing all that kind of thing, like just nuts. And because it was the first time they came out publicly, like just everything kind of lined up to make it really, really huge, whether you are a Justin Timberlake fan or not.
Correct.
So why don't you give us just some backstory to that whole thing?
Just to know, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of these whole shock drops thing being a thing of the future and the present of them happening all the time. Yeah. That was like the first one that started this whole shit.
One of the first ones I remember.
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah. Definitely the first in Toronto I can remember. Absolutely.
Yeah. Back end. Trying to jog my memory here. More or less, I feel like we knew about it the day before. We were kind of like told about it, but it wasn't 100%. It was like, oh, this might happen tomorrow.
And then this might happen tomorrow.
And then we're like, okay. And like, I'm a co-manager. You know, shout out Sarah too. She was there at the time, and you know, it was just like, okay, well, we're just waiting for things to happen. And then all of a sudden there's like seven skids of shoes coming in the downstairs door at one point. And I was like, okay, so we know what's happening now. You know what I mean? It's like, put these.
So that happened the morning of.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, that happened the morning of. So in terms of like in everything else, in terms of like the marketing plan and how it went down, I don't know about that. That would be like an executive story to tell, but it was just everything was go. Like, to be honest with you, you guys have worked with Foot Locker before. Nothing is ever set in stone, and you could be told something 1 hour and literally the next minute you won't even get told that it's changing, and it's changing.
Yeah.
And then that's the way it's going to be. So there was never really a plan in place up front because it was so fast.
Yeah.
But we knew that we had, because of the stature of the release and with him actually being there, we had actually one of the times where Foot Locker was like, yes, take all of the security you need. Yeah. Obviously.
However much you need this time. Because you're going to need two security guards.
Yes, exactly. They actually had the barricades and like barricaded part of the street and everything. So that was super awesome. But just the experience was just super fun. Like, he didn't really talk to a whole lot of us. Him and his like manager and like stylist, I think it was, or publicist, basically just walked around most of the time. Went and checked upstairs, went and checked downstairs, and then they like just left through the back door. But in terms of the release, yeah, it was one of the best organized releases because of the fact that they knew that they had to have it like that.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice. Yeah.
But yeah, that was, yeah, it was super fun.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. It was a crazy day.
Yeah, I'm never going to forget that day.
It's a very long day.
Yeah, I agree. I was outside. You were inside. So I
know. You know, another crazy story was the Levi's 4 release. That was a fun one.
Oh, I do remember the story of that release as well. That was the release where I believe Foot Locker said you cannot show up until midnight. Is that correct?
There wasn't even a... There wasn't
no,
there
that wasn't
even
a thing.
There wasn't even anything. Foot Locker didn't do anything. Let me be honest with you. I got told that I had to handle the lineup of like 400 people that had been hanging outside of the store for...
Just because it wasn't like confirmed you were getting it. Correct. Or like, yeah.
For about 5 or 6 hours that whole day. And literally closed the store. And I'm like, okay, I have to go handle this. And I didn't get any security help from the company because they didn't think it was going to be a crazy release. So I had to call the Atrium security. Shout out to Atrium security because they're actually really good. They helped me out. Like, two guys helped me out, but it was like, it was the most ridiculous. It was probably next to the, I think, was it the Off-White lineup for the UNCs? Probably one of the most ridiculous crowds I've ever seen outside of that store, because people found out that we were going to do the lineup inside where, the other entrance for Pickle Barrel is, like, if you're on the north side of 306 and you turn, there's an ATM entrance.
Yeah.
So we did the lineup in there because it was super cold. It was the middle of January. It was super cold that night, or December, I think it was actually. And some people had figured out because they had known where lineups had started before, where the lineup was going to start essentially.
They started their own line.
Essentially. But a lot of the guys that were smart, in parentheses, made their way inside and started lining up. So... the word got out that we were taking down names. I started taking down names on the inside because there was actually people there. And there was, I think we had 19 pairs for sale.
And, oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't know that tidbit.
Yeah, we had some crazy amount. Like, we had some like super, super small. There wasn't that many pairs.
Oh my goodness.
It was like,
what? I would expect that number in 2011.
Yeah. That's why the price on those are so freaking crazy. Like, there was,
it's gone
that many,
so high. There's up now. Not that many. I checked actually the other day. It's like dead stock pairs are going for like $1,500 now.
Yeah. There's not that many pairs out there, and we didn't have a lot of pairs to start with. And so guys started realizing that we were lining up inside and found out. And basically the entire crowd that had been like hanging out on Edward Street in front of the store rushed the Atrium doors, and the Atrium security actually had to close the doors to the entrance because there were so many people. And like, I get shady looks all the time at all those lineups with all that shit. I never got so much cut eye in my entire life than that one night, because I was like, yo, I didn't create any of this.
I feel like people in lines, like, speaking from experience, I'm sure you can say it as well. Like, you do your best to control the line. You do your best to make sure everyone's chill, everyone's happy, but they forget that you're working for the brand and you're working for the company. So these people who you were like, yo, you're good, what's up? Like, you're handling them up. You're like saying like, yo, you're good. Like, yo, go wait inside. It's cold. Yo, you want me to get you a coffee? I'm going to whatever it may be. As soon as it's like, yo, get back to your spot, they're like, fuck you mean, bro? I thought we were friends. And it's like, I mean, I know you were cool, but I work here.
That doesn't mean anything. Like, yeah, that does, I can do, I'm just
being
a
genuine human being. Like, I'm not going to let you cut in line. Like, it's, yeah, it's kind of nuts how people get that misconception immediately.
And like, on it, like, personally, because I don't line up for sneakers, I've never personally seen someone blatantly, like a manager from a store, blatantly go up to their friend and be like, hey, come here, and take them and put them in the front of the line. I'm sure it's happened, don't get me wrong, and I'm not taking that away from anybody if they've seen it happen, but like, everybody's got common sense, man. And if you're a manager of a retail store, you probably have some sort of common sense, unless you're a complete idiot.
And I always would tell people, like, who are trying to like finesse you or bribe you, I'm like, unless you're paying me my yearly salary, like, then I'm getting fired for this. Yeah. Then I don't even want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah.
Like, give me five figures and we'll talk. Yeah,
honestly,
no problem.
All the resellers who will not be named, like, would they'd try to like get at me, and I'm like, honestly, like, I said it to them one time. I'm like, are you paying me like however many grand a year? And they're like, oh, you're real, eh? And I'm like, yeah, because I'm not a fuckboy. Like,
rent.
Come on, man. Like, I have bills to pay and shit. Like, reselling is not my business.
Yeah.
Reselling is not my business. That's all on you, bro.
My business is working at 306 Young and making sure the best things happen here. So who was the coolest person you met working at 306 Young? I'm sure you met a couple faces here and there.
I met him. I met Raekwon was there, but I didn't meet him that day. I'd met him before, though. But I'd have to say the coolest person I met. Honestly, the best interaction I had was George Strombolopoulos.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because I was completely like out of it, and I wasn't even thinking that. Like, he came in scruffy as hell, like full beard. Yeah. You've seen him lately, but like, he was extra scruffy that day. Yeah. And I didn't even really like, I didn't recognize him until like I helped him out, got to the counter, and like he said something, and I heard it in his voice, and I was like,
I heard that on
George, and he's like, yeah, and I was like, oh shit! I was like, I don't even know it's you with you, bro. He's like, oh yeah, he's like, people don't always get it. I was like, that's cool. But it was just like I helped him out for like half an hour. I shot the shit with him, just like anybody else. But it was just like, got to the counter, I was like, oh shit,
yeah,
that was kind of cool.
That's kind of a cool one. Is he on? What is he on? E-talk or something? Is that what it is? George Strombolopoulos.
He doesn't do CBC hockey anymore. Usually. He doesn't do hockey anymore.
Oh, that's what he used to be.
He was doing hockey for a bit, but I don't think he does that anymore.
I don't know.
And then Cabby was always a good. He came in a couple.
That'd be a good one too.
Yeah, he was super cool to come in, and he would always chop it up and kick it and shit. So
he seems super real.
Yeah.
What about some of the most common frustrations working at 306 Young at the Jordan store?
People are expecting you to tell them info that you can't tell them.
Just probably every single day.
Yeah.
Like how many pairs you're getting, when the lineup's going to start,
or
that
people,
kind of thing.
Or people that know exactly how things go down, who still ask questions that they know that they're not going to get answers to.
People who are there every
like
single line.
You're here every single time. Like, or even on top of that, people that come to every single line, and some lines they act respectful and some lines they don't. And it's like, what are you, like, why?
What's your attitude? Pick one. You know what I mean? Who are you for real?
You're here all the time. Like, you don't have to be an ass to me or to the person behind you, because they're touching you. Like, it's a lineup.
Because they're touching you.
It's a lineup. Welcome to the lineup.
So this is just a question that I've always wondered, because I just like don't understand. So people come in for raffles. You have these sheets and sheets and sheets and sheets, lists of names written down. How do you guys actually pull raffle names? That's my question.
Google randomizer.
And you number every.
Yep.
And it's
sheet's
just.
Each sheet's got 20 people on it. Count however many sheets you have with however many people. Toss it into Google randomizer. And like, literally, that's it. Like,
oh, shit.
Bam.
So it's per size, I'm assuming. Like, it'd be like however many. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough to me.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I've never understood how people and like the whole backdoor. Like,
rigged.
Rigged and backdoor. Like, there's 40 fucking cameras in that goddamn store. How are we backdooring pairs?
Yeah.
How are you realistically backdooring pairs? Unless you're one of those shady people, like, who are then, like, I don't know, you're putting shoes in a garbage bag.
Yeah, yeah, something crazy.
But then the shoes come up missing, so someone's going to say something.
Someone's
going to
get fired.
You know what I mean? Like, come on, guys. Like, have common sense. Like, no one's back door.
Especially at a big store like that. Like, this isn't a small boutique where it's like, there's one owner. Like, this is a really big company that would check on these things.
People are getting fired. Often. I've seen stores get wiped out because they did that shit. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, it's not happening. It's it's almost impossible.
So I don't know if this even has an answer, but how many pairs on average were you guys getting, on like hype stuff? Obviously Levi's is clearly a different story, but was there like a typical number you guys would get on like specific hype releases, or did it kind of depend?
It really depended on the, I guess I don't want to say it would always be dependent on the hype, because it wouldn't always necessarily. Because
sometimes there was super hype shoes that you got a ton of pairs.
So no, I would say anywhere. Realistically, if it's a hype release, you're looking at anywhere from about 250 to Travis Scott. They had 495. So
my goodness.
I think the UNC Off-Whites, there was close to 600. So
jeez, and that was a first come first serve release.
That was a crazy release.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that was you guys are doing the lineup until 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yes,
holy crap!
We were.
So, did you? I guess, or in a broader question, do they, as in Foot Locker or 306, whatever, do you actually, or do they actually care about people cutting in line or resellers or et cetera? Like, is that a thing that they actually are like, got to figure out a way to stop this? Or is it just like pairs are going out the door at a regular price, so honestly at the end of the day, what are we gonna do?
Yes, but there's no rule in the Foot Locker book that says that we can do anything about it.
Oh, okay.
If it comes down to a culture thing and somebody having been in the culture for so long and not having the greatest experience with resellers, and because of what I've seen at the store, yeah, I'm going to take it upon myself to make sure that that doesn't happen within the store, or it doesn't happen outside the store, at least in front of it, at least. I always told you this.
Yeah.
Like, I know it happens. I'm not an idiot. I'm not oblivious to it. If you guys are going to do it, go in the mall. Go to the other side of the street.
Why are you
doing it in front of the doors of the store? You know what I mean? Like, not only are you pissing me off because I don't want you guys just flip buying the shoes to flip them and sell them, and I want people to actually wear them for retail price, but you're making other people mad because – for the exact same reason, you don't have a chance.
And they didn't get the shoe.
And they didn't get the shoe.
So you think that Foot Locker does care about it? Like, that's from your personal, like, do you have an idea if they actually care?
I don't think they care.
Because it doesn't affect their bottom line.
They're getting money in the bank. It doesn't matter to them. I'm sure that they care about the customer's safety to a certain extent.
Mm-hmm.
That's not like, don't throw that away. But in terms of them being like, oh, we're trying to combat resellers, they just invested $100 million in GOAT. So let's talk about it. They want that to happen because it's only going to make them money because
they sell more shoes. Yeah,
exactly.
So we did, I don't know if you saw, we posted on our story, just if anyone had any questions that they've always wanted to know about 306. And there was a bunch of responses. I did just a couple of them because, like I said, there was a ton of them. So somebody said, what advice would you give to someone who was trying to get a job in sneakers / at 306 Young?
Be yourself. Be passionate about sneakers. Be passionate about Jordan Brand. If you're going to work at the number one flagship of Jordan Brand that's in Canada, the only one that's in Canada, you've got to know what you're talking about. It doesn't necessarily always come down to you being the biggest Jordan head, because you can learn that. But if you have the right personality and background and experience, then just be yourself and apply. You know, go in there and, again, network. You know, meet the manager. Mm-hmm. You do have to apply online, but you can show face. Like, I'm old school even now. Like, if I apply for a job, like, I'm stopping by the office and trying to talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's just be yourself. Have some knowledge of sneakers, whatever it is. It doesn't necessarily have to be Jordans, but have knowledge of sneakers and go in there and be yourself.
Do you prefer first come, first serve or raffle?
Personally, based off of what I've seen in the city, raffle.
Why is that?
It makes it easier for us as retailers, in parentheses, because I'm not a retailer anymore, to handle the ridiculous people who don't want to listen outside in those lineups. It cuts off anybody cutting in line. It cuts off any bullshit. It cuts off, oh, I forgot my ID. It's like, no, you didn't. You had to show up with your ID to sign up for it. So it's not my fault you didn't bring it. It just cuts off so much bullshit that we shouldn't necessarily have to deal with when it comes to that type of thing, because people can't act properly. Like they can't. Like it's crazy. Yep. I could tell everybody outside there's 1,000 pairs and there could be 600 people in line and they would still act like fucking idiots.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like every time I had a lineup when I was like, guys, everybody's getting a pair, people would still act like idiots. You know what I mean? It's like there's not even enough people here for it to sell out. You guys are getting a pair. Just calm down.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's 19 pairs of Levi's pairs.
That wasn't the one I was saying. That was the one I got your name honestly, and I'm leaving. Yeah. Like
look, I hold you accountable.
I didn't talk to anybody.
Yeah, no,
they'll remember that you said that.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the moment you're like, you sold out. Yeah, how are you telling me you sold out when you told me everyone's going to pair?
And then they're on fucking Keyboard Warrior Instagram and telling like on the comment section. Yeah.
Commenting
like,
on Full Luck Canada.
This guy said that there's 100 pairs.
This waste, man. He had enough pairs.
The only times I made a joke in line to be sarcastic and people would be like, you said that. And I'm like, you don't understand humor. I'm sorry about that.
Take anything to
anything. Yeah. It's brutal, bro.
So how do you feel about people who bring their aunt, their uncle, their grandma, their grandpa, their dog to sign up for raffles? Do you care?
If you're a grown ass man and you're bringing your whole family to sign up for a raffle, I don't have a problem with it, but you got priority problems.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You mean if it's your wife and your kid because you guys are out for the day, don't get me wrong. If you're calling like your cousin from out of town, be like, I need to get this win because I'm trying to make some money, blah, blah, blah. Like, nah, come on.
I always wondered these people who bring like their whole family out, if they win the shoe, like their uncle wins the shoe or whatever, they get the call, they come pick it up with them. Do they give their uncle a cut of the money?
No.
Just sold Travis Scott sixes for $1,600 and they give them absolutely nothing.
Like,
scumbaggy.
You want to hear scumbaggy?
I do.
Yeah.
You want to hear
absolutely
fucking
I do.
Scumbaggy?
Yeah, no, fucking scumbaggy. Not just scumbaggy.
No. Scumbaggy. Scumbaggy. There was a frequenter at 306 Young. You guys might know him to see him. I don't know if you know him to see him, but he showed up one day. He was a personal support worker.
And I don't like where this is going.
He showed up one day with his client who was mentally handicapped to sign up for a raffle. I laid into him and he never showed up again. Ever.
That's messed up.
That's crazy.
I don't like that at all.
What the?
What is the best way to do these? I think you said first come first serve, but is there a better way to do a raffle system? Is there a better way to do a first come first serve system? Like in your ideal world, not just your basic, okay, it's a raffle, come sign up, not it's a first come first serve, come line up. Mm-hmm. What's the best way to release these hype shoes?
Foot Locker Canada needs to invest money in apps, in the app. Do the release mm-hmm. app. Why not? Nike Canada needs to let us have Sneakers Canada on the app. Why are we so far behind in this aspect? Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. It's almost like they're capitalizing on the fact that shit gets fucking crazy here. And I'm sure it does in the States for some releases. Don't get me wrong. There's way more mom and pop boutique shops in the mm-hmm. States who can only do first come, first serve.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure shit gets even crazier down there because they have guns. But, you know, like
every
it's just,
single one.
Yeah.
It would just, it needs to be a sneakers cat. It needs to be an app based system. It just makes it. It makes it easier and it puts the onus on everybody else. And mm-hmm. you know what I mean? In terms of the whole raffle situation, that's why, again, I love the raffle because it puts the onus on the customer to get down there and sign up.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for all that. I know you don't work there anymore, so I don't know if that was comfortable or not.
Oh, no. It's all sneaker related. So it's fine, man.
So now what you're doing now, which is 10 times more important than your past.
Agreed.
So you're living the dream 2.0, I would say. I would say. Working for yourself.
I'm trying to, yeah.
Doing content creation. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now?
Just doing freelance social media management and content creation for small businesses, clients, people, anything. Photography, social media posts, copyright. Anything to do with basically anything to do with social media. That's kind of where I've plot myself in because I've always been a fan of it and I enjoy it. And, I feel like there's a decent amount of people in my network and my circle who are interested in the things that I do and also have interest in the same hobbies that I do. So, just trying to network as much as possible and build a portfolio list at this point. right now I only have one client that I'm working with right now, consistently. They're super awesome. It's a cannabis accessory company at Edmonton called Burnt Designs. Make sure you check them out. BurntDesigns.com.
Plug, plug, plug.
Burnt Designs on Instagram or on their Facebook and Twitter. So check that out. But yeah, just honestly, it was something that I was already doing on the side. Even while I was at Foot Locker, and I've always been passionate about it. And the situation that led me to leave 306, pushed me.
Kind of made you take the lead.
I had to. Yeah. I didn't have a choice. So it was a blessing in disguise at the end of the day.
So was it like a no-brainer? Like after you left 306/Foot Locker, was it like, okay, I'm jumping right in. Like I'm not working for somebody else. I'm jumping into my own thing. Or was there like, do I want to do this whole like 9-to-5 thing again? Or was it not even a thought? Like,
jumping like right into it. It was like, no, I'm doing this. Like I have to, I don't really feel like working for anybody else. With that being said, like, yeah, consistency or inconsistency of income being a freelancer is super tough and is super, it's a big struggle, some months. So it's, not something that I haven't thought about in terms of going back to get another job. Getting my foot in the door with a cannabis accessory company being how big the market is right now and how innovative every single thing is in terms of the cannabis space.
There's literally nothing to go off of. Exactly. So everything is new. Yeah.
I'm trying to get my foot in there a little bit more and network with the right people and get myself another position in some aspect, whether it be in social or retail within the cannabis space right now.
Very cool. Mm-hmm. So where do you hope to see this freelance thing go? Like assuming you continue to pursue it, what would you like to see come of it?
I would like to see me just eat every month off of it.
Food
pay
on the
my,
table.
Pay my bills, pay my rent. You know what I mean? I would like to get to the point where I don't have to, you know what I mean, touch the savings or do anything. The point where I can actually make savings off of doing what I'm doing. So. Uh-huh.
So what's some advice you would give someone else who's trying to do the same? Because there is a lot of people who are trying to get into freelance. I'm sure, as you well know, it's super competitive. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of people who want to take the leap, a bunch of people who want to do the same thing, like content creation, social media management kind of thing. So what's some advice you would give to someone who's thinking about it?
Apply yourself to whatever medium that it is that you're trying to, I guess, put yourself into in terms of social media, whether it be Instagram, whether it be Twitter, whether it be Facebook. Those are all three largely separate entities that have different social media engagements and characteristics and everything about all of them. So applying what you know to that and then also building on that too, because every year something changes with any one of those platforms. Mm-hmm. And I guess having a passion for it at the end of the day, that's what should drive you. It shouldn't be necessarily for me. It's not money. It's not anything like that. Yeah, sure. I want to make money to pay my bills, but yeah. I also want to do something that I enjoy where I can apply my knowledge, my experience and my passion into making sure that that's a good or dope thing. Right?
Absolutely. And if you're interested, that Instagram where you can find that is
JR Weidman Creative Services.
Thank you for coming, JR. Hey. We appreciate you coming out that big drive from downtown out to the burbs. We appreciate you. Thank you to everyone who has supported and or been a part of this podcast. Wherever you guys are taking in this episode, please leave a comment, review, follow, and or subscribe. We've got a Facebook group we like to use as a forum. Connect with you guys and sell some stuff. You can find that at facebook.com/group/cgs.talk. We've also got a website we use for reviews, recap stories, and much, 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 much more. You can find that at canadagotsold.ca. If you have any questions or suggestions for any of our segments, like the soul pull, sneaker heading for dummies, or the fire round, shoot us a DM or email us at canadagotsoul@gmail.com. Of course, don't forget to use the hashtag canadagotsoul on Instagram for a feature. I have been Lawrence Hopkins, and you can find me at ldoggystyles on Instagram. Woof.
I'm Joel Hernandez. You can find me at Joe Dooney, JO_D3ONEY.
My name is Alvin Quincy, and you can find me at MISTERQ at the Mart.
And JR, once again, what are the two places they can find you?
JR Weidman, and then my work account will be JR Weidman Creative Services.
Thank you once again for coming, JR.
Hey guys, thank you for taking the time to have me out. I appreciate all you guys.
We ain't none.
We didn't do anything.
Yeah, no, you guys are big. You guys are big. Are a big deal. To me. We're
That's somebody, I guess. Yeah. one fan.
Ask the guest to be here and then berate him on the way out. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to us talk about sneakers for 82 episodes. And please remember to rock your kicks. This has been True to Size. We have been CGS and JR Weidman, and we are out. Peace.
82 is a Kobe number. I was trying to get some relevance to that number the whole episode.
episode.
Dope. Kobe.
Dope.